Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, I have two pieces of good news for you. One, Matt Klentak is still not the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Two, John Middleton has not spoken since the last time we did a podcast. So I think we're firing all cylinders right now.
They've really done it, huh? So what you're saying is that everything's fine.
It's all good. Yeah. Everything's great.
We're just erasing.
Yeah.
And Matt Klentak, to our knowledge, is not even allowed in the building, you know.
His Wawa bag, right?
His key card does not work. So they said come back in 2021. We have fans in the ballpark, and you can turn on all the hot dog stands. I think that's officially what his position is going to be.
Well, Jack, do you know how many fans are going to be in the stands? Because they don't. They can't know, and they can't do anything without knowing.
So we can't even possibly think about re-signing JT until we know how many fans are going to be in the ballpark. So what if the Yankees...
Exact number. I need an exit, Jack. I want it down to the last fan. If there's a child in the ballpark that came in with a parent without a ticket, I want to know that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty crazy that stupid money has turned into pinching pennies.
Dude. I mean, yes, yeah, stupid. It is stupid. I'll say that. That moniker still works.
Love this baseball team.
We'll
always love them.
But here's the thing, and let's get into it, because there's a lot of other stuff to talk about, but I think the main thing that we care about and are going to be focused on right now is the one thing that John Middleton can actually do to erase what just happened. I mean, at least for the most part, because it kind of happened with the Girardi thing. We had a similar type of thing, though I would argue this one was far worse. But after the Kapler firing, you know, Middleton has that disastrous press conference with the 11-minute answer and all the just horrific, you know, PR job that they did with that. And then he hired Joe Girardi and it kind of went away. And now he has a chance on an even bigger, far more important scale than Joe Girardi. No offense, Joe. He has a chance to completely flip the narrative, Jack. Like, if he does blank check Eric Neander, please do that. Or does something smart, like sets up a smart situation, like all of a sudden we are not talking about that press conference anymore.
Yeah, and it's a big ask. I mean,
I know. I'm not saying I have faith that he's going to do it. I'm just saying he has the opportunity to do it.
No, yeah. I mean, listen, the Phillies are actually, you know, we make fun of them a lot, and most of it is justified because it's been a pretty frustrating go of it, but they're in a really golden opportunity here to kind of get this thing back on track. Like, I tweeted last night, like, Brian Barber is here, and from everything that we've seen, heard, read about, like, Brian Barber is a freaking stud, man. And it seems like they figured out the draft. He did a really nice job in last year's draft. They actually took a high school pitcher with some upside. I mean, the Phillies did that. I didn't think that was possible.
Well, and also, Jack, you might not know this, but I am actually Casey Martin's biggest fan on the planet. I didn't know if you knew that, but I'm 100% all in on Casey Martin and his future. He's my guy now. I've decided that.
I like that a lot.
I'm just letting you know. That's my dude.
And speaking of the 2020 draft, I was watching Ian Anderson tonight, which, again, owner.
Oh, God. Can we not?
The owner said, and it was what was the term? A skim milk? The 2016?
You might have misspoke there,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah. Anyway.
Bad timing on that one.
Yeah, not great. But honestly, so I was watching Ian Anderson tonight, and I just couldn't stop thinking about Mick Abel's first postseason start. Like, I'm already...
Playoff Abel. Playoff Abel.
Is Mick Abel.
That's going to be a good headline someday. You know that's coming.
Listen, if I can help other industries...
I'm just spitballing here, you know. Yeah. No biggie. If Matt Cain wants to come back and pitch for the Phillies, we can have a Cain and Abel headline. Boom.
Yeah,
Cain. Lorenzo Cain comes and makes a big defensive play for Mick Abel.
Or
boom.
Or Lorenzo Cain is the last strikeout in the Ooh. Bottom of the ninth of a Mick Abel complete game, and the headline says Cain is not Abel.
Yeah, I like that. Except it's a Mick Abel perfect game. But okay. Yes, agree.
Well,
agree.
The best part about this conversation is that we're not putting any expectations on him.
It's not like he's only like 18 or maybe 19 at the most by now.
Yeah, but I mean, you heard his coach. Two different sliders, yeah. James.
I mean, friend of the podcast, Mick Abel, essentially. For all intents and purposes.
Yeah. I mean, two different sliders. I mean, what else do you need to know besides two different sliders? But they really are in a pretty decent spot. Like, obviously, we're annoyed with how things are going, and doesn't look like JT's coming back. Doesn't look like DD's coming back. Looks like they might not spend any money this offseason. But like, if they can, spending money this offseason would suck, right? I mean, you always want your team to spend money, especially with how they opened up the window and signed Wheeler last offseason and Hoskins and Harper and Nola and Kinger, you're not getting any younger. But like, just getting a competent front office is just more important to me. Like, it just is. Being able to knock this out of the park and getting a really interesting president in here. There's so many good president options that they could hire that could come in and make a difference. And then they can bring in a smart young guy under them that can just take this team to a new level. Like, the Mets kind of screw themselves by re-signing Alderson because he's the president and they can't go after one of the big fish and make them the president, you know? So, and Stephen Cohen has like stupid money. So like he knows the game. If he wanted to just spend money on front office people, he could. So like, the Phillies are a big market team that has a big opening, two big openings, apparently. I mean, apparently Middleton wants to move McPhail aside and hire two guys, which would be great. And also, John, you're the owner. Tell him that he's not the president. Is it really that hard? Do we really have to make this into a big, complicated thing? But
well,
anyway.
I mean, in his press conference, he certainly lauded Andy quite a bit. So yes, I think he has to make it a big thing. Did you know that Andy McPhail has won two World Series, Jack? Before you just did you know that though?
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember this, but Steve Martin is the only reason that Andy McPhail is not a.
Dude, we didn't talk about that, but that was like, we don't curse on here, but that was bleeped up.
Well,
like, that was a messed up thing to say. Like, regardless of all of it, poor Steve Bartman. I mean, this poor guy, anyone on the planet in that spot does exactly what that guy does. And he's become a pariah. He, like, lives in hiding still. It's crazy. But regardless of that, it's just such an asinine statement that shows, you know, nothing about the actual situation and what they still had to do and what they would have had to do to win. It's just like, come on.
Well, and like, you, I think that is a direct quote from Andy McPhail. Like, Andy McPhail is such a loser.
Oh, great point. Jack, thank you. That is something that Andy McPhail has said to John Middleton. You're so right.
Well,
great call.
I mean, think about it. Did you not, if you just read those words, would you not think it's the same as like, we would have the quickest turnaround in baseball history had we made the playoffs?
I am 100% certain that's what happened. That's how confident I am in that call. Like, you're 100% right.
Well, not only that, but I guarantee the whole stupid, if you combine our wars from 17 and 18, we actually are number one in baseball. You know, it's like, oh my God, everyone, just clean house. I mean, for the love of everything, like, please. I mean, the best part is that press conference didn't happen, but let's say it did happen and those quotes were uttered. It's just like, oh God, it's just the worst. But we have the driveline guys in place. We have a legitimate player development guys.
Brian Barber is legit. Like, he really does seem legit.
He's an absolute superstar. And so I tweeted that last night, and there's a lot of people that are like, whoa, who have they really developed? And let me just, I think it's important to point this out, James. So they've been here for 2 years. Like, the real driveline, you know, all the guys that they brought in, player development guys, have really been here for 2 years. Alec Bohm took off. Adam Haseley took off. Mickey Moniak finally showed up. And then you factor in guys like Jojo Romero and Connor Brogdon, who saw velo and Ramon Rosso, who saw velo jumps and went from like 93 to 97. Like that's called player development. That's what the freaking Dodgers do. That's why everyone that comes out of their bullpen is 100 miles an hour. And also, speaking of the Dodgers, like how the hell do they just get Brewster Gratterall as a part of that deal? Like there was no it's like
that made me so mad. Like
they don't need him. He's already unbelievable.
He's a legit prospect, Brewster. Like a legit prospect. Like it's crazy.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. But with that being said, like getting those guys velo jumps and then getting like I don't know if the talent that was down in the system was that unbelievable to begin with, but the fact that they've turned them into major league players and obviously Boehm took off and whatnot, like you're already seeing the impact those guys are having. So if you don't think the driveline guys and that stuff is making a difference or anything, like you're just simply not paying attention. So yeah, they are a competent freaking president and GM away from really getting this thing back on the right track. And honestly, I know we sound like we're down and whatnot. Like it genuinely makes me giddy thinking about what they could do. Will they do it is a different story.
Yeah, and look, because what they could do is a great point because they are, as you've pointed out before, one of the few legit top-tier market-type teams to have these types of openings come available. You know, it doesn't happen that often. It doesn't happen every year. That's, like, why you said the Alderson hire, you know, I get why he did it. Alderson's very respected. He's got obviously a history there. I think he's respected and all that type of stuff, stability. But I think that was a mistake too by Steve Cohen. And obviously Steve Cohen is a smart dude who's made a lot of money and is aggressive. And, you know, I'm sure he will spend money on the front office, even if he can't, you know, even if he's going to have Alderson as president, they'll still spend money on a new GM and they'll get something done, but having these two jobs open really does give you some flexibility, or theoretically open, gives you some flexibility and the opportunity to come into a situation that has the chance to win now with some smart moves, at least to a certain level, and then build for the future while doing it is a nice opportunity for some, you know, or two people, but, you know, a staff to come in here. It should be a good job. I think, to be blatantly honest, I think John Middleton is a potential deterrent. You know, you see what happened with Middleton and Klentak and this whole situation, and you watch his press conferences. Like, I don't know if he's the owner that the top tier guys are going to want to work for, but he might be. They might just want the money. I mean, there are a lot of different factors involved here, and maybe Middleton's better in the room than he is on the Zoom, so to speak.
I mean, I'd hope so.
I mean, he got Harvard here.
Yeah, but well, yeah. So yeah, that, I mean, somehow. I mean,
somehow. It's still the biggest mystery of it all, how Bryce Harper ended up in Philly. It really is crazy.
Well,
and again, though, to your point, like you mentioned before, though, with the window now, like, and I agree with you, I think there's a good chance that this free agency period is not robust for them. But, I mean, what do you say to Bryce? Like, if you're John Middleton, what do you say to that dude when you sold that guy on coming here? Saying I'm gonna, you know, we're winning a trophy. You know, I'm gonna do everything it takes. You know, I'm a big dog, brother. Like, what do you say to Bryce Harper in that situation, especially when you let JT Realmuto walk? When there are stories coming out, as you pointed out to me, and that we all knew, but that the reason they didn't sign JT to a contract prior to the last season is because they wanted to stay under the luxury tax. I mean, if you're Bryce Harper, like, and Realmuto walks, and then you have to tell him, hey, we're not going for it this year, like. I don't know. That feels like a tough conversation to have.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course it's a tough conversation to have. I mean, this guy's publicly, like, crying that JT might not be here. I mean, yeah, it's
he's wearing his jersey right now. Like, literally, yeah, still right now.
Yeah, it's an impossible conversation to have. And you know, it's just frustrating because it feels like it's like, oh, I'll do what it takes to win when it's convenient for me. You know, and I understand I'm losing $186 million a year. It's like, yeah, I'll pay the money it takes when there isn't a pandemic. It's like, well, listen, you're the owner through pandemics as well. And I know you didn't see it coming, but, like, you know, that's part of being an owner. You assume that risk. And also, it is not, they are not losing $186 million.
No way.
They were projected to make that much this year. Like, it's just not counted as revenue that they could use. Like, they're not losing $186 million. They were projected to make that much money from ticket sales and TV revenue and parking and all and jersey
and,
sales.
And guess what? They're still going to make money. Like, they're going to have a TV deal, all that stuff. Like, what are we talking about here?
And again, and this is one that I would like to put on a billboard if I had enough money. The Yankees are losing $430+ million this year. The Mets are losing $246 million this year. Both teams are going to be in the JT sweepstakes. So let's stop with this whole stupid, we're going to lose $186 million. We can't re-sign players and make our team better nonsense. When you're going to make it back next year, and the main teams that are going to be vying for the freaking catcher that you gave up Pedro Martinez 2.0 for lost more money than you. And they just signed Gerrit Cole last year to a $300+ million contract, so you can't use that as an excuse. You can't keep making excuses. It feels like we've all just become apathetic to the idea that we're going to lose JT Realmuto, and we don't have to be. We don't have to just be apathetic that we're going to lose JT Realmuto, because it's on him, and it has always been on him. It was never not on him. It is on him to get the deal done. Well, first off, he's not going to get $200 million. Like,
no way. There's no way. I saw that report. I was like, get the hell out of here.
I mean, you remember.
No, he's a catcher. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and he's not like Buster Posey or Pudge Rodriguez.
Dude,
or,
I saw like an 8-year deal. People were talking about a 7-year deal. Like, no way. He's getting something in the neighborhood of 5 for $130, 6 for $150, like something like that. Like maybe slightly more, maybe like 6 for $175 is like the highest end I could see. And I don't think that happens. But, like, there's no way he's getting your $200 million, and there's no way he's getting a 7-8-year deal. None. I think it's probably a 5-year deal, like $130, $140. Yes. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, this is just what happens. I mean, you remember the stories before Bryce was like, oh, $500 million. Like, that's what he's looking for.
Yep.
So, I mean, this just happens. Like, I'm not going to freak out about it, but, like.
And, look, to be fair, like, the Mookie Betts thing, everyone's like, oh, clearly everyone's going to spend money, like, the Mookie Betts contract has a bunch of deferred money. It is not the number that they showed. Like, there is still a real chance, and I still this does not mean that I don't expect other teams to outbid John Middleton, but I do think that there is still a chance that it is a depressed free agent market, and these owners take it out on players in free agency, and we do not see the type of contracts that players are expecting. I mean, all these quote-unquote reports and stuff are agent-driven. That is all players, people putting that stuff out there. There's no team that's saying, oh, I think JT is going to get $200 million. Like, that's not happening. So, I'm still not totally convinced that the numbers are going to be as high as they would be in a normal offseason, even for the top tier guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And also, with all due respect to JT, like, Mookie Betts is Mookie Betts. I mean,
yep.
Mookie probably should have got closer to 400. I mean, if we're being fair about things. So, yeah, I think it'll be like 5-140 at the max. And even that's on the high side. So, you know, it's nice being back at this point where I feel like me and you are kind of back on the Bryce Harper calm down. You know, everyone calm down. He's not signing with the Padres after the Padres just paid $300 million to Manny Machado. Calm down.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Everyone calm down. So let's put it out there. There is James and I, we will eat a shoe if JT Realmuto gets $200 million.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll eat two shoes. I'll eat one for each foot.
All right. And not Zoe's shoes, because Zoe's shoes are small. These will be grown shoes.
Grown shoes. I like it. Grown shoes. That's the new phrase for shoes.
Sure.
All right, a little quickly on Romero, and then I wanna get back to the GM search because I wanna. Do you have a list ready for us? I'm assuming you at least have a preliminary list.
I mean, sorry. Did you just ask if I have a GM list?
I'm just making sure. All right, I'm just making sure. But quickly before we move off Romero,
yeah.
As of right now, and I'm sure this is gonna change, and we're gonna go back and forth, and when we hear stuff, and let's all remember how long the Bryce Harper thing took, all that, and not expect something. I know last offseason was quicker, but you know it could take some time, but. Right now, on October 13th, how are you feeling in terms of percentage-wise whether you think he's going to stay or go?
So for the first time, I don't think he's going to be back. For the longest time, I thought there's no way that this team is going to let JT go after what they gave up, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to just... I don't know, take their ball and go home and lose JT Realmuto to the Mets or Yankees or Nationals or whatever. Like, that's just not going to happen. Oh, and one more thing on the projected revenue loss. The Braves are projected to lose more than them this year, and the Braves are a small market team that, like, you know, doesn't spend money in free agency. So if I see them make a big move this year, I'm going to freak out. But, yeah, so with JT, I just don't feel good about it. And it's not like the Bryce thing where I was like, calm down. He's going to come. He's going to be back. Like, I just, everything they're putting out has just been like a feeler for, listen, we're not re-signing this dude. You guys better just kind of get over it, which is an unbelievable position to be in. I try not to think about it because it just makes me way too upset. And I hate being upset at the Phillies, but, I don't have a good feeling about it at all. I would love to be wrong. I would not love to be wrong for $200 million. Like, I don't want to pay. I
agree.
Like, JT can walk if for $200 million. Like, he's
100%, 100%. Not even a question.
Honestly, like, over 150, I'm probably like,
yep, all right. I agree. If it gets to create, I'm in the exact same spot you are, Jay. It was like I was saying exactly what you said. The longest time I thought there was just no way that he could go. You know, considering obviously what they gave up for him, but also. You know, like we've talked about many times, his importance to this window, you know, to this group of guys and this chance here. And then, of course, the fact that, you know, the guy, your franchise cornerstone, the guy you gave $330 million to, has been, you know, stumping for him loudly, openly all season long. Like, I just thought JT was more valuable to the Phillies than any other team, you know, whatever the price was, assuming it didn't get too crazy. But I'm with you now. I don't expect them to pay what it takes. Before I was like, at one point I was like 95-5, then down to like 80-20, then down to like 70-30. I'm like 30-70 the other way now. Like, that's where I'm at.
And I don't blame you at all. You know, I was like 99.
It really is unbelievable how they mismanaged this. Oh. It really is unbelievable. It is unbelievable how they mismanaged this.
It's all because to stay under the luxury tax and not pay $3 million.
It's a shame. It's a shame. It really is a shame. It's such a shame.
I just want to know if Middleton knows that he can reset it after 1 year if he wants to.
It's crazy. Like, that's why it just seems so short-sighted. That's the problem, is so many short-sighted decisions. Let's hope that with the list you're about to read me, the people that you'd be interested in, that maybe some of these names end up here, or one of these names end up here, and we can not have these conversations anymore, Jack, and we can talk about what a smart team we root for, and oh, how clever was that they did that thing, and wow, do you see what they're building? Farm system ranked number 5 in all baseball. Let's go. You know, like, give me that. Who's on your list? Who's the future? Who do I want? Talk to me.
Well, let's start off with the obvious one. I mean, let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, blank check.
Blank check. Blank check.
Yeah, everyone knows. It's just the no one else that will be named again is close to this. This Eric Neander is the sole number one choice of the High Hopes podcast. There is no second. Who's third and beyond, Jack? That's the best way to put it.
One last thing on Eric Neander. The freaking Rays are about to be like the sixth team ever to make the World Series with also having the number one ranked farm system. Like, wow. They're so freaking loaded. They're just getting better. They are I mean, I actually hate them. Like, I hate the Rays, like, with the whole stupid, like, I want to see pitchers going deep into games and the bullpenning, and I just loathe it. But they're so smart and so good that I would take it every single day of the week, and I would just be the happiest person in the world if Eric Neander became the next president and John Middleton just said blank check. Because, like, really, he wants to run a small market baseball team, right? So, like, when I get the best small market guy out there.
He'll fit right in.
Yeah.
He'll have no problem not going over the luxury tags, John.
Exactly. So, Neander's the obvious guy. Blank check, all that fun stuff. The next guy for president for me is Mike Chernoff.
From Cleveland.
At Cleveland. He's a Cleveland general manager. He's been there for a while. He's kind of helped, you know, build that thing up from the ground. You know, the Indians the last 10 years have morphed into one of the smartest organizations in baseball, again, without doing with little money. I mean, they don't really have money to spend, and, you know, they're going to lose Francisco Lindor because of it. But he's one of those guys that's really smart, and if you bring him to a big market, you just think about what he can do. The problem is I don't think he's leaving Cleveland. He turned down the Mets job a couple of years ago.
It would have to be for the president job, like you said, first and foremost. And I agree. Chris Anunoby was the GM there before, moved up to the president spot when Mark Shapiro left. It's just a factory there in Cleveland. I mean, they just breed these guys. And look, Mark Shapiro got the Blue Jays back on track. They were in the playoffs this year, and obviously a ton of young talent going there. And
sounds fun.
It would be really smart. It would be really, really, really smart to go get Chernoff. Like, I agree with you. I don't expect him to leave, but that would be if it's not Neander, Chernoff is my top choice.
I agree with you. He would be my top choice as well. And, you know, one thing that McPhail talked about a lot in his, like, first press conference ever was, like, we want to have waves and waves of pitching. Well,
oh, yeah, buddy.
I mean,
well, yeah. Beaver and Clevenger and Plesac Kluber and Carrasco and, you know, so on and so on.
Danny
and so
Salazar. And
oh, yeah, buddy.
So talk about it. And now Tristan McKenzie.
Yeah. Yep.
Must be nice. Seems like a lot of fun.
It really does, doesn't it? It really does seem fun. Like, watching Shane Beaver pitch every fifth day seems really cool. Like, that seems like really cool.
Especially when you get him in the third round, you know?
Yeah.
Now this is the name that I think, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's a name that is actually realistic if they are going to hire a new president and GM this year, and that is Thad Levine of the Minnesota Twins. He's the GM out there. The Twins have quietly turned into, hitting-wise, they mash. I mean, they slug. They get the most out of their guys. The Twins are a low key, very, very smart team, and, you know, Levine, since he's taken over there, has turned them into kind of a factory in that way. And same thing with pitching now. I mean, they brought in some college guys, and you see pitchers go to Minnesota now, and, like, if you're targeting guys in fantasy, like, you're taking a shot on Kenta Maeda this year. Like, you had a good feeling he was going to take off. They always have nasty bullpens. Like, they basically try to do what the Rays do with the bullpen. I mean, just nasty, nasty guys coming out of the pen all the time. And he's a guy that kind of he took over the Twins, turned them into a smart factory, and I think in, like, 2 years he would be considered for one of the top president jobs. Like, I think he's very clearly ascending, and I think you'd be kind of getting him on his ascent. And also, he did interview here in 2015, so there is that connection a little bit. So I would love Thad Levine. I think what he's done with the Twins is super, super underrated, and I think he's a clear future president that the Phillies will be getting on the ascent.
Yeah, I like Levine a lot. What I know of him, he's done a great job in Minnesota. Like you said, the amount of players they keep have coming up. I mean, it's pretty much all homegrown there. You know, they added Josh Donaldson this year to help out, but, you know, Nelson Cruz has obviously been good for them. It's just unbelievable. Nelson Cruz just keeps
forever.
It's unbelievable. It really is truly unbelievable. But for the most part, it's homegrown. It's a lot of, you know, talent that they've drafted, developed, and all that. So I'm with you. I like Levine a lot. Who's the next
guy? I mean, Levine, if you can get me a Levine and then, if you get me a LaVine and one of these guys for the names I'm about to run off are just GM candidates. So if you get LaVine and one of these GM candidates, I mean, we're doing jumping jacks. We're not doing the streaking down broad if we got Neander or Chernoff. But if they get one of these guys and one of the GMs, I'm doing jumping jacks. So I think this is my first choice, but I don't know. I have so many first choices. It kind of changes by the day. But like Bobby Owens, who's been with the Oakland A's forever, he's been viewed as like a savant of scouting reports, like one of the best scouts in the sport. Been doing it forever. Like memorizes every single player and has like personal information on them. Like really gets into it. And again, you're taking a guy from the A's who have just consistently produced homegrown talent. If you've noticed a theme with my GM candidates, they're all from small market teams that do it a lot through homegrown talent, which is what it seems like Middleton cares about the most. But Bobby Owens has been with the A's for 12 years, one of the best scouts in the sport. And I think if you add a guy like LaVine or someone like that for the president's role as like kind of the GM or kind of like the analytics overseer guy, and then get a real awesome just scout that Bobby Owens is, I just think it'd be a home run. If you pair Bobby Owens and Brian Barber together, I just think you dominate drafts for the time being.
Can you imagine having a general manager who knows what he's seeing and knows what he's looking at? Wouldn't that be
nice, huh?
Just a wonderful thing. And to be clear, and we'll keep going with the GM names, but as far as I'm concerned, if it is Neander or Chernoff, or even someone like LaVine, but particularly Neander or Chernoff, whoever the hell they hire to be their GM, I trust them. Like they've earned that. Like that, whichever of their guys that they think is ready to run a team, like I'm sure that guy's ready to run a team. Like they know what they're doing.
Totally agree. And I just hope they follow through. I really do. And I can't stop thinking about the GM.
I know.
I think my next favorite guy. So many guys.
Oh my goodness.
Would probably Matt Arnold. He's the vice president, assistant GM of the Brewers. Don't think he's as smart as David Stearns is. Like David Stearns is kind of just a baseball like. He's unbelievable, one of the best GMs in the sport. But Matt Arnold's with the Rays for a long time before taking the Brewers, and the Brewers have kind of turned into a pitching factory. So I would like to take a shot on him. Another smart guy, was with the Rays for a while, and can kind of, you know, take great things from two of the smartest franchises in the sport, and the Brewers and the Rays, and again, a small market. So. Seems like,
yeah, you had me when you said Rays.
Yeah, I know.
When you said when he was with the Rays, I was like, okay.
Now, how about a little bit of a local flair, Matt Foreman?
Ian Bloom-esque.
I wish it was Ian Bloom-esque. And speaking of which, you see that him and Eric Neander were both laughing over the Connor Siebold and Nick Pivetta trade.
Did I? Shout out to the WIP caller who called him Chain Bloom. I thought that was good.
Right. How dare you disrespect the legend? And also, also shout out to the Twitter user that said, "How can it be smart when he traded Mookie Betts?" The thing is that his first order of business there was to trade Mookie Betts by ownership.
Yeah. So I got into an actual argument with a Red Sox fan I know about this who had that same take. And I was like, you know, he didn't have a choice, right? Like, you know, they would not have hired him for the job if he had not agreed to trade Mookie Betts. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is not his decision. Like, he had zero to do with the want to trade Mookie Betts. It's so crazy.
It's insane. And maybe if we waited, or maybe if Chaim waited 1 year, he could be our GM, but whatever.
All right, more high hopes in a second. But first, a word from a sponsor.
So Matt Foreman is the assistant GM of the Indians. He is hashtag from here. He went to Malvern Prep.
I'm so in. Yeah. Him and Goslin hanging out. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And he could actually take his kids on a tour of Malvern Prep.
You said his name is Matt Foreman?
Yeah.
So you're saying future friend of the High Hopes podcast, Matt Foreman.
I feel like that's the case, right?
This sounds like our kind of guy. I'm already in on him. Assistant GM with the Indians. Yep. Please give me that dude. You know who that dude was before? It was Chernoff. You know who it was before that? Chris Antonetti. Like, yeah, that's a pretty successful spot. Let's go with that.
Yes, and here's a little bit more about him. So he before he worked for the Indians, he worked at Baseball America, and which means like, obviously he was on the road and scouting and writing and all of that. So he was hired by the Indians in 2013. And then he became in charge of baseball operations before the 2016 season, which means that he was basically in charge of their draft since then. How does the names Shane Bieber, Nolan Jones, Aaron Saval, Zach Plesac, James Karinchak, and Moore sound to you?
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. I'm particularly a fan of Moore, but I thought it was a great list regardless.
I mean, if we could produce
one of those guys. One or two. One.
That would be nice. JJ Piccolo is JJ Piccolo.
Isn't he also from here, right?
He's from Cherry Hill. And so the thing I don't love about him is that he seems pretty old school, and you know, he's just going to be an old school scouting guy, which is fine and good if you get a guy like Levine to oversee everything, or Chernoff or Neander, like we all know. But I think Piccolo, from the standpoint of he's basically him and Dayton Moore have rebuilt the Royals back to where, you know, they're a small market team that has to scout well to be a good organization and to try to compete. And he already built one world champion in the 2015 team. And I love their young core. You know, I love some of the guys they have out there, like Brady Singer. I love Bobby Witt Jr., Jorge Soler, obviously. Like, they have some dudes out there. And obviously their bullpen, like, they get it. You know, Josh Stomont, Scott Barlow. They had, you know, Greg Holland came back this year and was good. Trevor Rosenthal was good. So they're clearly doing something right. But the reason why I'm more in on Piccolo than I would be in years past is because this year, or I guess the last 2 years, he's been in charge of player performance. So he's actually gone down on the field, and he's basically been involved in getting the technology on the players and using the technology and using it as a way to get the most out of guys. So just the fact that he's been ingrained in what the technology is doing and seeing it for what it is, I think is really, really important. So not the traditional old school scouting guy, but if they go the old school scouting guy, I would prefer Bobby Owens, but I would not be upset if they signed JJ Piccolo. It just seems too obvious, and it's such like a Girardi kind of move where it's old school and old school mixed with new school, and that'll appease both sides of the fan base, but it's not like a home run hire, and not, you know, it's an overcorrection from the Matt Klentak era. So wouldn't be upset with it. I think he's a good scout, but not my first choice. Would be okay with it.
Yeah, that's where I stand too, from what I know of Piccolo, and I think he kind of nailed why he's going to be the pick.
Yeah, I know. I know.
As you were just laying that out there, I'm like, oh, so he's the pick. It's going to be him. Got it.
It's so obviously going to be JJ Piccolo.
I'm like pretty locked in that's who it's going to be now.
I know. I'm just trying to do that. I'm trying to just talk myself out of it. But
yeah,
if I could pick one guy, it'll be him. The next guy I did not write about, but just in talking to some people and that are down, you know, kind of in the area. Apparently, this guy,
Jackie Sources.
It's not Jackie Sources. It's Jackie Talks to Baseball Friends. But Kevin Ibach is the senior director of player personnel and pro scouting for the Rays. And apparently, he's like the next guy. Like, there's obviously Neander, but apparently, this dude's the next guy. And if I can get the next guy for the Rays, I'll take the next guy for the Rays. So I don't know much about him. But the fact that he runs their drafts and has been involved in the international market that they've been just dominating for the last couple of years, like, again, I think I had you at Rays, but but he's another one that just I would be excited about. Now, this one, Emil Saldier, he's the assistant GM and senior VP of the Diamondbacks. Now, before he was at the Diamondbacks, he was in charge of amateur and international scouting for the Red Sox. How do these names sound to you, James?
I'm here. I'm waiting.
Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Travis Shaw, Yoan Moncada, and Xander Bogaerts. How do those names sound to you?
I mean, They sound phenomenal.
Yeah, and now the Diamondbacks, I think, have also developed into one of those secret smart teams out there. I know they struggled this year, but he's had a major hand in that. It seems like he fits the whole mix between scouting and he's a mix between scouting and analytics and that stuff, which is good to have. But that's it. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. Okay. I like that list.
I like that list.
And as always, blank check for Nander. But
blank check for Nian.
I think
that's the main thing.
If I could just pick one front office that is not Neander, I think it would be, and Chernoff, because I don't think Chernoff's going to happen, but it would be Levine. It would be Levine, and then I think all those guys, whatever. I have nothing.
You don't have to choose now. I mean, they're not going to hire by the next time we do the pod. So come to us next time.
They're not going to hire a guy until November, but I already cannot wait. So,
well, obviously, and we're going to talk about it a lot. All right, before we get out of here, two things to get to. One, Jack, you're the pro here, so set this up.
So, LaSalle baseball, if you've seen this anywhere, they all of a sudden out of the blue, I think 2 weeks ago, got the email from their AD that they're cutting the baseball program, and the baseball program is done. And I have a couple friends that have played there, and one of the main guys who is organizing this is a guy named James Santor, and he's become a friend, and I've been trying to help out, and obviously not as big as some of the people they've gotten involved, but so in this next little segment, you're going to hear me talking to my friend, Joe Ravert. We grew up together. He played at LaSalle. Just going to talk about what LaSalle baseball meant to him, why they're trying to save it, and really how you can get involved in helping save LaSalle baseball, if you can, of course. And now I am being joined by my good buddy, my good pal, former two-way stud at LaSalle University, a place that gave me a courtesy email back, but not much more than that. We're going to try to save LaSalle baseball. Rave, how's it going, brother?
Jack, man, it's going well. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
I mean, how's the wing feeling? I mean, it's been a while since me and you have been in the spotlight of dominating Southeastern PA high school baseball. Is the wing holding up all right? I mean, you think about making a comeback? Man.
Still locked and loaded, still chucking it in the Delco League, but you know, yeah, we're still loaded.
That's good to hear, Rave. So, what's going on, man? Like, what, they cut your baseball team? What's happening down there, at LaSalle? Why are they taking away LaSalle baseball?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we just got an email, you know, I guess it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. That, hey, we're cutting seven programs, and your baseball is going to be terminated at the end of the year, and we all just kind of like freaked out. The understanding that we have is that they want to, you know, take all the money from all these other sports and put them into basketball. And to us, it's just like, you know, they just pull the rug right out of me. It almost feels like a loss of a loved one, because it's part of your life that's just now being completely taken from you. And, you know, obviously nobody, while we partially understand, nobody really wants to believe or understand it. And, you know, obviously it's extremely frustrating and upsetting to hear.
And like, what? So it seems like this has been really, really personal for you and James Santori, the guy that has pretty much helped organize this whole thing. I mean, you guys graduated like what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago at this point? Like, why?
2016.
Why did 2016 class 2016? So why does this mean so much to you? And like, what does LaSalle baseball mean to you? And why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, I mean, look, like, you know, you played college baseball, you kind of know how it is. These guys are not only, you know, teammates, but friends, but you really become a family. You know, a lot of us are local kids. A lot of us grew up watching the A-10, watching the Big Five, wanting to stay at home and play in Philadelphia, you know. You know, at the time when we were in high school getting recruited, Temple had a program. Temple no longer has one. Drexel doesn't have one. Villanova, you know, not in the city. St. Joe's not in the city. But, you know, LaSalle is a place that's in the city that, you know, local kids can go and play. And for me, that's something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to stay close to home. It was really important for me, you know, stay close to home, play for a Catholic university. And you know, a place like LaSalle, not only is it, you know, was it a great place to play, but it was a great place to get an education. You know, an awesome business school with great connections to huge companies in the city. And, you know, these guys, and they're, like I said, they're not just teammates. They're not just friends. They're, you know, they're brothers, they're family. We're talking, you know, at each other's weddings. I'm in three weddings this year of my teammates. I'm a best man in one of them. I mean, not only that, like, we were very active in the community, you know, in what we did to give back between, you know, going out and being umps at a softball tournament called Spin, especially people in the Northeast. We would do the Alex Lemonade run. We'd clean up the community in Belfield. I mean, we really, it's not only, not just, you know, we're not just baseball players. We're student athletes, and we're, you know, integral members of the community.
And how many, like, you mentioned the Philly feel. How much of your teammates would you say are from the area, like, a percentage-wise? How many are from the Philadelphia area?
At least 50 to 60.
Again, and that's so it's a local, right. It's a local college program that you just mentioned, right. It. I mean, Temple's got slashed. You know, they could have recruited me back in the day, and that didn't work out. Like you mentioned, Drexel doesn't have a team. Like, if we lose LaSalle baseball, I mean, what's left? There's Penn, and is that it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Nova and St. Joe's as well. But, I mean, you know, Jack, you know this, that the Philadelphia area and the suburbs of southeastern PA is a hotbed for talent for baseball. And LaSalle, over the last 3 years, has had a top 75 recruiting class in the nation. And this year it was even, like, 63. And if you line up all the Power 5 schools, our recruiting classes were ranked ahead of some of the Power 5 schools. So this is a program that was really on the up and up. And not only do we think that they could come and take over the A-10, but they can make some noise on a national level as well. I mean, this is a team that's made the World Series a couple of years, and it's a very rich tradition program. I mean, dates back 70 years. You know, it's something that we're incredibly passionate about. And to see the program go is extremely devastating, and that's why we're doing everything we can to keep it from being terminated at the end of the season.
Totally. And before we get to how people can get involved, Rave, me and you played together for a long time. You know, I would say back to when we were, what, like 14 or 15 years old. You saw the rise and probably the fall better than everyone else. I need you to inform the High Hopes listeners that at some point I was pretty good at baseball.
Yeah, just wanted to let everyone know, Jack was a very solid baseball player, especially in his days at Bayard Rustin.
Yeah.
Very, very tough right-handed bat to right-handed arm to face with a real nice changeup. So he's not messing around.
Thank you. And Pavetta's not all my fault. It's everyone else's
Pavetta
fault.
Pavetta is not all Jack's fault. No.
All right, sounds good. Ray, before I get you out of here, how can people get involved and how can people help save LaSalle baseball?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, follow us on Instagram at Save LaSalle Baseball. Share our stuff, repost our stuff, comment. We have a link tree in there to our GoFundMe. We have a petition. We have a link in there to a bat deal we're doing with a wood bat company called LV Lumber. We're soon going to have a link in there to purchase coffee from a company called Big League Brew. That's headed by one of the catching coaches in the Phillies organization. You can follow us on Twitter. At James Santor is really the hub for most of our Twitter stuff. And, you know, anything you can, anybody that wants to help, feel free to reach out to our accounts. And that's really what's kicked this all off. We're really, you know, it's really taken off from a national level.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool seeing everyone kind of rally around. And, you know, I mean, you mentioned it. I went to Bloom, played 2 years. And if I if I lost the Bloomsbury baseball team, like, I'd be losing some of my best friends. So, you know, you just hate to see that happen, especially you mentioned the local ties and how important LaSalle baseball has turned into for the Philadelphia area and the kids for a chance to play high-level Division I baseball. It'd really be a shame to see it go, and I appreciate all the stuff you guys are doing, and let's hope we can save the program, Rafe.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thanks so much for all you've done to help us and for having me on again.
Awesome, awesome stuff. That's obviously something people should get involved with, and it's a great cause. Obviously, I think, you know, formative years, important years for baseball players, and a lot of times the last, like, real competitive baseball that they'll get to play and all that type of stuff. All right, Jack. Anything else in your note bag or take bag before we get out of here?
Yes, there is.
Of course there is. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Would you, James Seltzer, and you and we on this podcast have never lied to the High Hopes listeners, and I might be asking you the most important question I've ever asked you. Would you take a year of Ned Rice if it meant Theo in 2021?
So, in a holistic sense, yes, I would. But I would rather have Neander. I'd rather have Chernoff. Like, there are people I'd rather have than Theo at this point right now in time. But in a basic sense, like, if it's JJ Piccolo or wait a year for Theo, yeah, I'll wait a year for Theo.
What if it's Levine or wait a year for Theo?
I'd probably take Levine, but it's really close.
Oh,
I might
how
wait
the mighty
Theo.
Have fallen, Theo.
Well, it's because I don't want to waste a year of my life, Jack. I want to get
Theo.
This moving here.
Oh, you're only almost
I'm
40,
old,
buddy. You're,
bro, I'm old.
Wow, you're already playing that card?
I mean, you would definitely take Levine, right? It's not even close for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would take Levine. But yeah. I'm terrified of, like, a Dombrowski. So if it's, like, a year of Ned Rice and then Dombrowski, like, yeah, I'll take – or a year of Ned Rice and then Theo over, like, a
Me
Dombrowski.
Me too. That's kind
of
my point. Like, I'm terrified. I don't to tie a bow on it, there are so many exciting options. I don't trust John Middleton to take one of them.
Well, yeah, and, like, a Jim Hendrys. Oh, God. If they hire Jim Hendrys, just hire a new podcast. Like, I just – fire me into the sun for all I care. Like, I just, he is such a freaking disaster. Whatever. The fact that he's even being mentioned is embarrassing. Like, he sucks, man. Like, he sucks. And I don't care that he works with the Yankees. Like, I just don't care. The Yankees haven't done anything interesting in a while. It's all Cashman. Like, whatever. I am preemptively getting furious at the idea
I
that.
I love it. I love it. Tell him, Jack.
Seriously. I mean, you're going to need a new podcast co-host because I'm done.
Buddy,
I would just.
So you're telling me if I can get them to hire Hendrys, I get rid of you.
Yeah, whatever you gotta do, whatever you gotta do to sink this baseball team for the next decade. You hire Jim Hendrys,
who had. We'll be back 1 week from today, unless they hire Jim Hendrys, yeah. Then we might not be
or never again, or all never right. again. But that's what's so frustrating. Oh, whatever. What else do I have here? What were you doing in 1991, a.k.a. the last time Andy McPhail won a World Series?
I was watching them win the World Series. I remember it vividly. Gene Larkin fly ball over the brought-in outfield, and Dan Gladden trots to home. I remember it vividly, Jack. So that's what I was doing.
All right. Well, like what was going on with your life? Was that middle school for you? Was that?
No. That was like fourth grade for me, Jack.
Okay. Were you still in New York at that point, you fraud?
I wasn't here, you. Are we done here?
No.
Are you in bed? Are we done here?
No, I want everyone to know that you grew up in New York.
I did. My dad was from here. One of those.
Speaking of New York, I would just like to say that there's no better song to listen to while walking around the city than Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel.
I like that. Welcome to your Billy Joel phase. I'm very happy for you. We all went through it. I'm excited to see you get there.
There's just no other.
I know all the words to We Didn't Start the Fire.
It's his best song, but I just would like to say it's the best song to just, you know, walk around the city. You put a little pep in your step. I was like skipping down the street today listening to Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
If only I had been there to see it.
By Billy Joel. Happy anniversary to the Matt Stairs homer.
That's a good one, yes. True,
also,
the night.
It's probably around this time. No, it probably wasn't around this time.
No.
Later. Not even close. But nope. When this podcast comes out, it might be around this time.
It's true.
It is. And may I just say, the Victorino home run is still underrated. I mean, Victorino, like that doesn't happen without Victorino's home run. So just give a little love to Shane there a little bit. Where were you for the Stairs home run?
Where was I for the Stairs home run? I was with Emily, where were we? I remember the TV I was watching. I feel like I was at a buddy's house. Like, I remember where I was sitting in a room, and I remember the TV and the shot of the TV, but I can't piece everything together. I think I was at a buddy's house.
All right. That's uneventful. I was sitting in my lucky spot, as I think my mom was folding laundry, as she was like, like, I feel like all my memories of, like, the 2008 World Series run was, like, my dad in the other room asleep, me in my lucky spot, and my mom just, like, folding laundry and trying to talk to me about my school day. And I was like, Mom, kind of a big moment. Like, this is not the time to ask Jack about his math quiz. Like, I probably failed it. You know, I'm trying to lock in on the Stairs home run. So, fun memories. Like, honestly, I'm so jealous of everyone that was old enough to, like, be out for the Phillies runs. Because, like,
it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Could not, like, just the worst. I mean, just being a freshman in high school, whatever. And I think the last thing here is, you know, Freddie Freeman's just a 6'5 Chase Utley. I mean, it's just unbelievable how good that guy is. And it's just so refreshing.
Might be better.
Yeah, well, it's just so refreshing seeing that guy, like, crush another team besides us, you know?
It is. I will say there is a schadenfreude to it, you know? You do get a bit of a joy of seeing it happening to someone else when it's happened to you so many times.
Yeah, it's just great. And also, as always, there's fresh high hops available at Four Fingers Brewing Company. And as always, go in and try to talk Phillies with my dad. He will not know what you're talking about. I promise you.
Love it.
If you mention Eric Neander, he is going to be very confused.
Please do that, actually. I think it's worth going for the beers just for that.
Yeah, what do you think about Eric Neander? he will not have any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I love it.
I promise
you. The look on his face is so worth it. Please, please do this. Please. And then tell us that you did it. It'd be amazing. All right, we done?
Yes.
Rate and review the podcast. It means the world to Jack. We'll be back same time, same place next week. He spreads himself. We'll see you later.